Coming up is Senate File 2313, Senator Hahn. Welcome. Again, another day, round two.
Round two. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Thank you, members. I appreciate the opportunity to present Senate File 2313. I do have a couple of amendments that I would like to offer as author's amendments, if I may. Change a little bit the language that you have in front of you to get this into the shape we think we would like it to be.
Okay, so we're handing out that amendment right now, the A1 amendment.
Yes, the A1 amendment we can take, and I need to make an oral adjustment to the A1.
Okay, let's wait till we hand those out so members can see that, since you're going to be changing that.
Thank you.
Okay, members should have the A1 amendment before them. Senator Hahn, you wanted to make an oral amendment to this before we incorporate.
Yes, Mr. Chairman. This language pertains to Section 5 of the original bill. And the oral amendment that I'd like to make to the A1 amendment is on line 1.21 of the amendment, where it talks about the Chamber of Commerce convening the initial meeting of this group of people. And we're changing that to be the Minnesota Comprehensive Health Association, MCHA. And secondly, I'd like to incorporate into the A1, and you'd have to go back and look at the language of the original bill on page 4. On section 5, we've got the amendment changes the title of section 5 to be, and as the amendment says, Health Insurance Marketplace Website Task Force.
Okay, Senator Hahn, first, because we'll have to handle these in sequence.
What I want to do is make a small language change to incorporate into the A1. It was missed in the – so this is an oral amendment or a – I'd like
okay,
to –
Okay, so you are going to be changing right. The A1 amendment to get – okay, so this is the second point in which you
I'm
want
just
to
trying mention. To explain where it's – where
members, I'll restate this for you so we all understand what it is we're doing. Okay, so Senator Hahn, your the second part of your oral amendment to the A1 amendment is
right.
What?
You,
I'm looking at page 4 of your original bill.
Well, the page 4 of the original bill is where the A1 amendment – is inserted, and
okay.
It's essentially replacing the existing Section 5. But the on line 4.6, it talks about the purpose, and then it says the Marketplace Website Task Force, and the two words health insurance before marketplace were not included in the A1 amendment. We need to adjust the title on line 4.6 to be consistent with the title that's on 1.3 of the amendment. Are you following me here, Mr. Chairman?
Okay, Senator Hahn, Council's got this. So you're inserting health insurance before markets, but again, that's on the bill, but that's not on the amendment.
Right. The amendment deletes lines 7 through 9 and replaces them with shorter language.
Okay, Senator Hahn?
Yes.
My original inclination was correct. What we need to do is, because you're now making some changes to the original bill, I think what we're going to do is need to do this in sequence, and we'll get this in the shape that you want to present it, but we'll have to do these in order.
Right.
I think the first thing we want to do is, members, go back to the A1 amendment, and we are going to just simply incorporate the oral amendment to that. So, members, just so you understand that, on the A1 amendment, line 1.21, titled there, Meetings and Procedures, strike Chamber of Commerce and insert Minnesota Comprehensive Health Association, or MCHA, as we know, but it'll read that. And that oral change is now part of your A1 author's amendment. Senator Hahn, were you going to make any other oral amendments to your A1?
No, we can proceed with that.
Okay. Then Senator Brown moves the author's amendment, the A1 amendment, for adoption into the bill. All those in favor say aye.
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 Those opposed, no. and the motion prevails. The A1 amendment is adopted. So then, Senator Hahn, now back to your additional author's amendment you have as an oral amendment on the bill itself. And this will also be an author's amendment, but it'll be oral.
Okay. And well, first, let's take what I was trying to describe briefly. Going back to the original bill, line 4.6 of the original bill, after the word "the," before marketplace, insert health insurance.
Okay. Members, then... Is there anything else? Is that it?
That's it.
Oh, that's it. Okay. So then Senator Brown also moves an additional author's oral amendment on the bill itself on line 4.6 after the insert health insurance. So it'll read the Health Insurance Marketplace Website Task Force. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed, no. And the motion prevails, and that author's amendment is also adopted. So, Senator Hahn, is the bill now in the shape that you would like to present it to the committee?
I have one more, the A2 amendment.
Oh, okay. Members will let's make sure everybody has the A2 amendment.
And, Mr. Chair and members, this also pertains to the language on page 4 of the original bill. There's a section of the bill that is titled Coordination with Healthy Minnesota Program, and the language in the A2 is added after line 4.4 on the original bill. It takes existing statute and inserts some language that you can see on lines 1.8 and 1.9 of the A2 amendment, which is really just specifying where these contribution amounts are going, and it puts a statutory reference to make it clear.
Okay, all the members have the A2 amendment. We'll spread the wealth this time. Senator Chamberlain moves adoption of the A2 author's amendment. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed, no. And the motion prevails, and the A2 amendment is adopted. Senator Hahn, now is the bill in the shape you'd
yes,
like to present
thank
it to
you,
the committee?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Members.
Glad to help with that. Senator Hahn.
Thank you. Mr. Chairman and members, this bill is a bill that has been the result of a number of discussions and meetings that have taken place over the interim since the end of session last year up through and continuing on into this session. And this is a bill that is focused on trying to bring about some opportunities, increased opportunities in Minnesota to allow for insurance to be more available, more portable, and more affordable to more people. So I do have some testifiers that I'd like to bring up and have them walk through the bill, but I just want to very briefly outline what we're doing. We're creating something called a Unified Personal Health Premium Account, and this account is designed to be an instrument that individuals can use to acquire or to accumulate contributions toward purchasing health insurance. And these contributions may come from an employer. They may come from, for example, the Healthy Minnesota Plan that we passed last year, where we designate a certain contribution that could be made to individuals to help them purchase insurance in the marketplace. They could come from Aunt Martha. They could come from a number of places. And this account then would be used and only used to purchase a health care policy. And there are a variety of policies that could, variety of kinds of insurance that could be purchased, including long-term care insurance. We're asking for these accounts to be administered in a way similar to what we do with the IRA instruments that were created a number of years ago, that they would require some registration of people who are qualified to be administrators of these kinds of financial instruments. And that section of the bill on page 2 that talks about the registration and the requirements of the administrators are outlined in that section of the bill. As I mentioned before, on section 4, we talk about this is the language that really facilitates and makes clear that the state, as it administers the Healthy Minnesota Contribution Plan, that those contributions would go toward these premium accounts. And that's what the language that we adopted in the A2 amendment really makes more clear. The other part I want to talk about is the more substantial change to Section 5 that deals with the Health Insurance Marketplace Website Task Force. And what we're doing here is asking that the legislative leaders appoint a working group or a task force of individuals, private sector individuals, and we're asking various representative groups to make nominees. For example, the Chamber of Commerce would provide a list of individuals that would then be, from that group would be appointed four members representing small businesses and large businesses. The Council of Health Plans would offer a pool of nominees, the Hospital Association, the Insurance Underwriters. So various organizations would propose individuals to serve on this group that then from that pool of potential members, some would be appointed to serve on this task force. The task force and the duties are outlined in Subdivision 4 on lines 1.26 of the A1 Amendment. Talks about having this group of private sector parties going out, looking at existing internet-based tools for the purchase of health insurance, evaluating their utility and how well they are suited to aid individuals and businesses in purchasing insurance, developing any recommendations if they find them necessary to broaden or enhance the capacity of these tools, and then to report back to the legislature in early 2013 whatever their recommendations are, and specifying what, if anything, further may need to be done to make sure that there exist sufficient tools in the marketplace to aid individuals and businesses in acquiring the insurance products that are available and are needed. At this point, Mr. Chairman, I would like to invite Peter Nelson and John Tyler to come up, and I believe that they have a brief presentation to talk about in more detail some of the issues that this bill is addressing.
Okay. Welcome to the committee. Is Mr. Nelson first?
Yep.
Okay. Welcome to the committee, Mr. Nelson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. My name is Peter Nelson. I'm the Director of Public Policy for Center of the American Experiment. And this bill tries to address the problem that we're all very familiar with, the rising cost of healthcare, and the problems a lot of different people have in affording healthcare. A lot of people have problems related to their employers, whether their employer doesn't provide health insurance, whether their employer is running into problems with the rising cost of their own premiums, whether they have part-time jobs and they don't have these have insurance. And then there's other groups of people that might not have jobs that obviously have trouble affording health care. The goal of this is to provide a new tool for people to be able to accumulate funds into one account, to pool resources from multiple places. And one of the keys to this is pooling resources from multiple employers. And I just want to make reference to the fact that I'm working from a PowerPoint presentation that you do have in front of you. And so if you want to follow along a little bit on that presentation, you can do so. And I want to make reference to just a couple statistics before I move on to some of the details of the bill. Between 2001 and 2011, the number of people that gain access to insurance in Minnesota through their employer dropped from 68.1% to 56.4%. That is a remarkable drop in our marketplace over the past 10 years. And it demonstrates a remarkable difficulty in gaining access to insurance right now in Minnesota that we didn't have maybe 10 years ago. And another statistic I want to point you to is the fact that in just 2 years, the number of the uninsured in Minnesota that have multiple employers moved from around 10% of the uninsured in 2009 to 20% of the uninsured in 2011. So there's a lot of people out there that have multiple employers. And if you have multiple employers, you're probably not getting access to insurance through one of them. And in addition to that, there's a lot of people that just have multiple employers through marriage. And there's definitely spouses, obviously, one spouse has insurance coverage, another spouse might not. This bill is intended to create new opportunities for businesses to pool resources. A lot of times businesses are faced with the decision, do I continue offering insurance or do I cut insurance because they just got a 20% to 40% premium increase? Those are serious decisions that employers are making right now. We want to make sure that employers have more choices moving forward. And that's what this bill is designed to do. This bill would allow multiple sources to pool funding. And you can go to page, I suppose it would be, there's a diagram in your presentation that sort of lays out how this can work. And there are funding opportunities from an employer one and an employer two, and those funding opportunities would be tax preferred. We envision this being set up in a way where you can gain employer funding through what's called a health reimbursement arrangement. That is an arrangement that is developing, that has been developing over the past 10 years after the passage of some IRS rulings that clarified that there's a lot more flexibility to these arrangements. And one of the flexible things that this arrangement can do is actually employers can actually deposit funds into a funded account versus a reimbursement. Right now, it used to be that these HRAs were usually considered something that was just a reimbursement, that if an employee had an expense during one single year, you would reimburse that expense, but you couldn't create a funded account. These days, we now know that you can create a funded account and take some more advantage of the tax code. And we want to, and this bill is intended to set up a standardized way to be able to allow employers to bring dollars together. And we believe that this is also a very important way to move some employers who could benefit from it to a defined contribution benefit approach. A defined contribution benefit approach allows employers to be able to budget a set amount of dollars every month for their employees, and so they're able to move from year to year and know that they're not going to be hit with a huge premium increase the next year and have to make new decisions every year about their health care dollars. And that will also not only empower employers to budget, but it empowers people to make their own choices and allows people to have ownership over their own health plans. And we envision this to have a lot of benefits for individuals through this arrangement. Instead of the employer dropping coverage of an individual, that individual will be able to hopefully maintain coverage in a different way. And the many employers that actually don't offer coverage will have a new way to offer tax-preferred contributions to their employees. And that will, of course, give their employees a lot more access. And one of the more important things also with a defined contribution approach is that this will be portable from job to job. Portability is a key moving forward to fixing a lot of our healthcare problems. Right now, a lot of people, because their insurance policy is tied to their job, they lose their insurance policy when they leave their job, or 18 months through COBRA after they leave their job. And this actually can have some serious problems for people who become ill on the job, and all of a sudden they can't start work. They can't work anymore, and they can't maintain their coverage. And there's research out there that demonstrates that when people with employer-based insurance who get sick and have to stop working because they're sick, they lose coverage at far greater rates than people who are individually insured, because the individually insured folks can maintain that policy regardless of their employment. And we believe that's also another key benefit that we really need to keep in mind. And with that, I will turn it over to John Tyler.
Thank you, Mr. Nelson. Mr. Tyler, welcome to the committee.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. My name is John Tyler. I'm a principal owner and Boys and Tyler Financial Group, and I'm also very active in the Minnesota Association of Health Underwriters and their legislative committee. My agency is very active in the sale and implementation and servicing of employee benefit plans for really all size employee groups. One of the types of plans that is dominant in the marketplace today are what we call defined benefit plans, in which an employer offers a single plan to all employees or some menu within a defined benefit menu on a group insurance scale. Just like with the Healthy Minnesota plan, as we evaluated the problems with the costs of MinnesotaCare offering a defined benefit plan, many employers are experiencing some of the cost issues as well. As a result of that, a little bit more creative and innovative system is really moving in the marketplace right now called defined contribution that Peter just talked about. And it does a very, very nice job of simply taking advantage of the ability for individuals to go out and purchase their own insurance using a, quote, defined contribution, just like Healthy Minnesota does. Gives the employee essentially a voucher and say, go to the marketplace and choose what's best for you. Well, the tax code does allow for that for both group and individual plans, and this facilitates both group and individual plans as well. One of the issues that we have, however, is the ability for individuals that have multiple jobs and no benefits, or perhaps a two-parent or a husband and wife, able to coordinate or unify total contributions from multiple employers, perhaps from the husband and also from the wife as well. They, right now, the dominant scenario is they have to choose one plan or the other. They don't have a choice, really, of combining the resources that they've really earned through multiple employment. This type of a program would allow them to do exactly that. They allow the husband's employer and the wife's employer to combine defined contributions into a single account. From there, they would choose their menu of plans that they would utilize. Again, as Peter mentioned, the portability and so forth is crucial to that. But also, we have found that the rate of increase of individual plans tends to be less inflationary than group plans happen to be. There are a lot of reasons for that, underwriting and so forth. You know, that's we have a very vibrant individual marketplace. So allowing really the employer to actually have a choice between a defined benefit or a defined contribution using individual plans type of situation is what this facilitates. It also opens up the marketplace in a variety of areas, as Peter mentioned, long-term care. It could be a scheduled reimbursement plan that has accident, illness, critical injury, hospital confinement insurance, a lot of different types of insurance that their employer individually might not have the facility or the capability of offering, but through this type of a mechanism, there would actually be a vibrant choice, a menu for individuals to choose from using a multiple of defined contributions. So we're trying to actually coordinate dollars into a single account that would allow individuals to combine their resources and choose from a menu of plans, you know, that are offered in the marketplace as well. It's really a very, very simple concept. It's actually in part in practice right now. Defined contribution plans are very prevalent in the marketplace right now, but they don't coordinate multiple employers. That's why we need the help of this bill, to coordinate the funding of multiple employers and or family members or charities or even Healthy Minnesota defined contribution as well, if the situation, you know, warrants it as well, allowing the individual to have the best available access to the marketplace with all the dollars that might be available to them.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Tyler. Are there questions from committee members? Okay, then... seeing on Senator Hahn, we have some. Oh, I'm sorry, Senator Bonoff.
Mr. Chair, Senator Hahn, I understand the account, and that makes some sense. I'm not sure about continuing to call it a defined contribution plan because that brings up all the issues around pensions one way or another. That's not when I've been in the marketplace, I don't hear it like that, but go ahead. Did you want to address that first?
Senator Hahn.
Mr. Chair and Senator Bonoff, I think that what we're trying to say, and maybe that's not quite the precise term, but what we're trying to get at is that employers may wish to, instead of providing a plan and say, as an employee, here is your plan, that instead they will say, well, we will make a contribution, a dollar contribution to this account in lieu of providing you with a predetermined plan. And that is the, quote, defined contribution. That's what that is supposed
to be. Mr. Chair and Senator Hahn, I know that, so I'm encouraging you to not use that term as you talk about it because I think then you're going to create some negative connotations with what you're talking about that isn't necessary. I think that's actually a really smart idea to do this bank account so people can pool their resources, and that makes a lot of sense. The concern I have with the bill is and we haven't talked as much about that, but is the other part of it, sure. And that's the task force. Did you want me to ask those questions now?
Mr. Chairman and Senator Bonoff, any question you'd like to ask?
Okay.
Go ahead.
Okay. Well, Senator Hahn, it seems to me that you're creating a task force to study and to really create what the health exchange is. And so I'm just surprised why you would create kind of a parallel system rather than just bring the expertise that you and whoever you'd bring together have to make sure that voice is represented on the health insurance exchange working group right now.
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Hahn, and let me just say, too, also, is that I know Senator Rest is working on some language to deal with the task force issue, and we're not going to rush this through here. I mean, you've got time. We do have some other people with some questions, and then we have other testifiers in opposition to the bill, and we can always come back. So we'll make sure we accommodate whatever suggestions you have on any language.
Okay.
So just so you know that.
Senator Bonhoff, the reason we put this language in is that many of us believe that there are already instruments that facilitate the use of the internet to do comparisons of what is available. They already exist, but those instruments may be, and obviously reading the papers, are not well known, that most people believe that you can't do that today when you can. And so part of this is to call attention to that and to encourage this group of folks that we're going to appoint to take and do a more comprehensive evaluation of what is already available and asking the question of, is there anything in addition to what we have needed? I'm not presuming that there is. I'm not suggesting that there is. But I do know from the comments and the discussion that's been going around about this issue that many people believe it is not possible to go out and look on the Internet and compare insurance plans, that it doesn't exist, when in fact it does. In fact, one of the things we contemplated today was bringing a presentation and showing members what you can do right now, but that would be pretty lengthy and it may be more in the weeds than what people want to do. And in fact, we're contemplating in our committee next week to have an informational hearing and actually bring in maybe Mr. Nelson or Mr. Tyler or others to come in and say, here's what is already out there and here are the things that already exist. And so the point isn't to create something, but is to help people to understand what is currently available and simply to ask the question, is there anything else that needs to be done? Or can we trust that the marketplace, as this goes forward, is going to continue to broaden and offer more options? So that is the reason for this, is to respond to the common concern that people say, you can't do this, when in fact you can.
Okay, Senator Reinert, I don't want to see, Senator Russ, you didn't have anything immediately right now. Did you question or anything immediately?
No, mine was to make sure that you allow me to offer the amendment.
Yes, we'll have time for that. Senator Reinert, question?
Well, Mr. Chair, and I don't know what Senator Rust is drafting. Maybe she'll share it with us and we can comment on it, because my questions are around the construction on the task force. So if you want to hold, and I know you have other testifiers.
I think, Senator Reinert, I think maybe we should hold on that.
Let me just say what I'm doing.
Oh, okay. Go ahead, Senator Rust.
When I read the amendment setting up the task force, it really... I think needed some improvement in the language. It's not about the task force itself, but the amendment will involve allowing the minority leaders of both bodies to appoint some members, for the speaker or the majority leader to designate someone to lead the working group, and to designate one of the members of the chamber group to convene the first meeting. You can't have an institution convene a meeting. It has to be a person. So they're really kind of technical things to make a working group actually work. And it has nothing to do with my opinion of having a working group, but this is a committee of origin, and it should, when it goes to state government, it should be correct and go by the guidelines that have been established for task force and working groups. So it's no harm to your task force, but it's putting it in good order. Now, others may have amendments that you might say would do harm to your task force. My amendment is not to do that. It is just to put it in good order.
All right, Senator Reinert.
Just a follow-on, and that's where I'm at as well. I respect the author's position on whether you want a task force or don't want a task force. But I couldn't help but notice in reading the language that in the amendment, the minority lost representation, and consumers were in your first edition, individuals that purchase health insurance in the fully insured marketplace, and they don't show up in the new task force. And then the other thing for consideration is I'm not clear what mechanism in your new amendment language, who is pulling from the pool. I'm clear on who's creating the pools, but I'm not clear on who is pulling from the pool to make appointments. So, Senator Rust, it sounds like you're on those
just
issues.
Just to put it in good order, and then you can talk about the Mr. Chairman, Senator Reinert, and then the value of it. Actually, the way it's worded.
Well, Senator Rust, I think what we'll do is, because I know Senate Counsel is working on
it. It could be done without being put in session law at all. You don't really need it. You could just get this group together. But if Senator Hand wants it in session law, well, then it should be in good order. But I don't see the need to do it in law at all. I mean, they could just appoint people to have a working group and meet with a bunch of people and come back with a report. They don't need to be compelled to do it. But if he wants it in there, let's just make sure it's in good order.
All right. Senator Hand, what I'd like to do is move on. I know there's a list of some other people that wanted to testify on the bill, and I want to move along because I have a bill on the agenda, and we bumped it yesterday, and I do not want to bump it again.
We heard today.
So I'm going to move this along. I have Liz Doyle from Take Action Minnesota, And then also Twyla Brace and then Stacy Weeks also from some other organizations, if you want to just be prepared then. So welcome, Ms. Doyle, to the committee.
Thank you. Thank you very much. My name again for the record is Liz Doyle with Take Action Minnesota. We're a statewide organization that works on expanding access to health care. Thank you very much for allowing me to speak. Mr. Chair, members of the committee, we want to thank Senator Hand for moving forward on a concept that is clearly designed to, you know, address the challenges of the healthcare system. We saw a poll that came out on AARP in Minnesota this morning about the health benefits exchange that talked about the fact that three quarters of people in the state of Minnesota are very concerned about the increases in their health insurance premiums. So it's a very significant crisis that we're facing out in the state. I know this bill hasn't been talked about as an exchange bill. There's several components of this bill that are clearly aligned with the health benefits exchange: the creation of individual accounts, the capacity to pull down state and federal subsidies and tax credits that are going to be available under the Affordable Care Act, the creation of a website that addresses this issue Senator Hamm was talking about, is kind of apples-to-apples comparisons of health benefit options, and some language that could potentially, I think, connect with some kind of a governance structure. So I sort of look at it in the light of the health benefit exchange proposals that we've been that the legislature has been considering this session, authored by Senator Laurie and Senator Hayden in this House. We feel the health benefits exchange has incredible potential to help Minnesotans access good quality, affordable health coverage for themselves and their families. The exchange will be a resource for individuals in both the private and the public health care markets and has incredible potential to improve the health of hundreds of thousands of Minnesotans. I want to address, however, a couple of significant concerns that we have about this approach to a health benefits exchange in Minnesota. The first of these is the complexity of this kind of a framework for an exchange. The purpose of the Affordable Care Act and the exchange that's envisioned under the Affordable Care Act is really to streamline the healthcare system, to modernize the healthcare system, to eliminate some of the layers of bureaucracy that exist in the private health insurance market. And we're concerned this proposal would move the opposite direction, move individuals into create a structure of health insurance agents and brokers that we just feel is frankly costly and entirely unnecessary. We imagine a health insurance exchange where we don't have that layer of middlemen and where we're more directly empowering consumers to get on a website, to look at available health insurance options, and to purchase those directly with the tax credits that are going to be available to them under the federal health care law. The second issue we would raise is the apparent lack of coordination between the public and the private health insurance programs and systems. There's a lot of people who are going to be eligible for federal tax credits under the Affordable Care Act who churn back and forth between public and private health insurance coverage, and we're concerned, and I think part of the purpose of the Affordable Care Act is to streamline and create greater coordination between the public and private health insurance system. And this approach is really only entirely in the private health insurance system. The task force is entirely made up of private sector representatives. There's no mention of the public health care system in this proposal, and we're concerned that this is, rather than increasing the level of coordination, that is actually further siloing the public and the private health care systems, and that would be another concern for us. And then I think overall kind of a lack of transparency and accountability for consumers. What is the right of consumers in these trust accounts? We have particularly the fact that we'll have both state funds as well as federal funds that are going to be available under the federal health care law. We think there should be a high standard of scrutiny of how those funds are being used. And we see, you know, there's been a lot of conversation about a black box in the current healthcare system. This almost feels like it creates a whole bunch of little black boxes throughout the healthcare system, and we'd like to move more toward transparency and accountability for people here in Minnesota. And we would finally, in looking at the composition of the task force that's recommended, particularly with an eye to the composition, for example, that is introduced, that's recommended in Senator Laurie's proposal, this one is not balanced in our opinion. The health insurance task force that was convened over the last several months that created a set of recommendations for the governance of the health benefits exchange, and then the language in Senator Laurie's proposal that embodies those recommendations creates a much more balanced composition that engages significantly more consumers, more individuals from our public health care system, a greater, you know, a group that I think is going to be more invested in the overall success of the health exchange, and this one feels imbalanced in comparison. So we would, again, you know, express our appreciation for an attempt to look at the challenges of the healthcare system, but feel that this approach to a health benefits exchange is really not going to fulfill the potential that the health benefits exchange has for people in Minnesota. We're going to have potentially 1 million people in the state who are going to be accessing their health insurance through the exchange, a couple hundred thousand who are currently uninsured will gain access to coverage. And I think an approach that is more streamlined, that's more about greater coordination and modernizing our healthcare system is going to work better for the system overall and for consumers in the state. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Senator Hand, you want to?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I appreciate Ms. Doyle's comments. However, I'm not sure if she was testifying to my bill or some other bill that I don't have here. This is not a health benefit exchange bill, and there's nothing in the bill that pertains to the ACA, and it has nothing to do with that. And I appreciate that some people want to go down that path, but what we're trying to do is address problems that we exist in the marketplace today. This approach does not cost the government any money to do this. It does require some change in law to facilitate things that are occurring in the private marketplace but could occur more easily and be made more, I guess, when business is contemplating doing things, they like to have some assurance that what they're doing is doable. There are sometimes gray areas in current law that may be an inhibition for people to take advantage of some of the things that may already exist. We're not creating a bureaucracy. There is no additional bureaucracy involved. This uses current market forces, current market structures. We're not contemplating creating any kind of bureaucracy at all. I think if anything is going to create bureaucracy, it's what's being described in the ACA, where you already have talked about creating all kinds of layers of additional employees. The governor's spending, I don't know, $30 million hiring people to create something that is... Talk about a black box behind closed doors. Nobody knows what's going on. This doesn't do any of this. This is just simply facilitating businesses, small employers, large employers, individuals, to have an asset that can be used to pay for health insurance premiums in the private marketplace. And it encourages and furthers the development of the pooling of resources from different places to allow greater access and increase individual ownership and portability of health insurance. I don't know that this has anything to do with the health benefit exchange that is being described in Ms. Doyle's comments and testimony, but this bill is not that.
Okay. I'm going to bring up Ms. Brace for testimony, and then Stacey Weeks from Legal Aid after that. Then, thank you. Welcome to the committee.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and members of the committee. My name is Twyla Brace. I'm president of Citizens Council for Health Freedom. And I have been talking with Senator Han about his bill, and he knows about our concerns having to do with Section 5 and Section 4, and only just received the amendment this morning, right as I walked in here. So I guess the comments that I'd like to make about it, because our concern about Section 5 was the establishment of an exchange, or even if it wasn't the establishment of an exchange, it was the first legislative authority or the first legislative authorization that something should be created. And right now in state law, there is absolutely nothing that says it should be created. And we really believe that the governor is looking for anything that he can put his hands around to say that he has authority to implement the government exchange. So in looking at the amendment, we're still concerned because we don't believe there's any need for the government. We're much like Senator Rest. We believe that the committee or the institution, MCHA, could create its own working group anytime that it wants, and that there would be no need for the government to put this in statute to say that we have to create this entity, we have to have this task force, and they have to come out with this report. We don't believe that government makes marketplace tools or should be involved in making them, and that the private sector can do this on their own. We know that this language is from the chamber, who has been very supportive of a government exchange, and our organization opposes it. And as I said, we are just we don't want to support any language that would give implicit or explicit authority to the governor to create the exchange that he's creating now without any legislative authority. So we are concerned that despite how this sounds and how limited it is, it still is the government giving the authority to move forward in this direction.
Okay. Thank you, Senator. Can you hear from the other testimony first, maybe, because you'll be able to wrap up. I just need to move the committee testimony along. Thank you. I have Ms. Stacy Weeks from Legal Aid. Welcome to the committee.
Mr. Chair, committee members, my name is Stacy Weeks. I'm with the Legal Services Advocacy Project, and I'm just going to keep my comments short and brief. I just want to start out by saying we do not oppose this bill at this time, but we raise serious concerns about some of its proposals. We believe that the inclusion of the Healthy Contribution Program into this complex and cumbersome trust account program is unnecessary. Low-income individuals seeking coverage through the Healthy Contribution Program do not need an additional layer of bureaucracy to help them pay their premiums. People can donate now to help these individuals. Why do they need brokers to administer those donations? We find this unnecessary. Also, we want to say at this time we have some concerns that this might be a thinly veiled attempt to pass legislation for an exchange, legislation that will benefit the private sector more than consumers and not serve underserved populations. It sets up an online portal just like the ACA. It includes a public subsidy program just like the ACA. It almost creates or sets up a navigator program through the use of the brokers. You guys saw the navigator bill yesterday. It appears to create a governing body through the task force, which conceivably, since it can make recommendations, could implement many of the other criteria that's set forth in the ACA. There are many other states, actually, that have passed legislation that's been much slimmer than this that sets up an exchange before 2013. If this does qualify, and since HHS is very flexible at this time trying to help states get this through, and this is that attempt, we find this very disappointing. Given all the stakeholder processes that many of us in this room have been a part of and all the task forces that have been working very hard to create recommendations on exchange that works for consumers and embodies the spirit of the ACA, which is to simplify this process of purchasing health insurance, not putting a middleman into the system. It's supposed to also improve access for small employers and underserved and low-income families in Minnesota. It's also supposed to provide affordable and adequate coverage. This bill does not address affordability. And it also is supposed to create a no-wrong door for everyone trying to access health insurance. It's to connect the public programs to the private programs. For all these reasons, yes. I do want to thank Senator Hand for bringing this discussion. I think it's long overdue because there are a lot of things in the ACA that we could benefit from, especially low-income individuals in our state. We want to urge this committee and the larger body of this legislature, to allow for a fair and full discussion on this issue to ensure whatever framework we pass this session moves us forward and not backwards on health care in Minnesota. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Let me ask, Senator Hand, if you want to respond to a few of the points, if you could please briefly.
I do, and I did also want to, I do have another amendment that I was going to, I missed it on my list, another oral amendment, but let me just make a couple of comments. First of all, I appreciate the testimony. I think Senator Rust is right, setting up this task force is not really necessary, except for the purpose that I outlined earlier in my comments to Senator Bonhoeff. I think that it is important that the public understand what exists in the marketplace, what is already available, to help that become more aware. This bill does not set up any kind of governing body, does not create any portals, doesn't create anything at all. But the amendment that I, oral amendment I was going to offer to my A2 or A1 or whatever it was that I neglected, I would like to offer that right now. And
Senator, we'll have somebody from the committee offered if we want to do that.
I can't.
The bill's before us at this point.
Can I suggest the language and ask maybe a member if they're inclined to do it?
Why don't you suggest the language, Senator Hand?
It's very simple. It's adding on page 5, I guess, or going back to the A1 amendment, additional subdivision 5, titled Expiration. And it just says that this section and this task force expires June 30th, 2014.
Mr. Chairman,
I'm not following that. Is what
that
Senator
is also part of my putting the task force in good order, and we could do that with one amendment if right. Senator Hand would be amenable.
Right,
and Mr. Chairman, and if
Senator
Rust is willing to incorporate my missed oral amendment into whatever she's thinking,
What I think we'll do is we'll I'm going to see if there's any additional testimony, any committee questions, and then what I'd like to do is move to Senator Rest, who has an amendment, and if that takes care of what you need to do, then we're covered there. If it doesn't, well, then we'll come back for a recommendation from Senator Hand. So at this time, what I'm going to ask, is there any questions from committee members? We have several. Senator Bonhoff, I think, was first. Senator Brown.
Yes, Mr. Chair. I'll keep this much briefer than I want to, but I just have to respond that insurance agents are not a burden or cumbersome to the process. We are there to help people understand what health insurance is. It's a very complicated system. I could go on and on about that. I help people with it all the time. We are not a burden to people who seek our help. We're there to help them.
Okay.
What government says.
Well, Senator Eaton.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Senator Hahn, I was wondering why the repealer. I'm concerned that it repeals 62L.12, which prohibits employers from encouraging employees not to submit a health insurance claim, and it also prohibits insurance agents from trying to break up a small group of employees and sell to them. This is not germane to the rest of the bill. And I'm just wondering why it's inclusion.
Senator Hand.
Mr. Chairman and Senator Eaton, perhaps if Mr. Tyler's here, he could come up and speak to this. It is a kind of a technical change, I guess, but we think it is important and germane to the bill. And Mr. Tyler, if you can just address that.
Mr. Tyler.
Mr. Chair, Senator Eaton. One of the strange scenarios in the marketplace right now is if an employer does not presently offer any kind of group health insurance program. The game rules of what an agent might offer them is very different than if an employer does offer a group health insurance program at this point. So we can offer them a defined contribution plan using individual plans if they do not have group health insurance in place. But if they do, we can't because of the statute. And so we're trying to offer a type of scenario in the marketplace that allows employers to legitimately make a choice between what they want to offer and what they don't want to offer. And so this particular provision really is an obstacle to offering true defined contribution plans in the marketplace equally without discrimination between one employer and another.
Mr. Chairman,
Senator Hand.
And I'm not an insurance agent, and maybe some who are in this committee can speak to this, but I've heard this law referred to as the gag rule. And as Mr. Tyler suggested, that when you are talking about insurance benefit plans to employers, what you may talk about and how you may talk about it depends upon whether or not there is an existing plan or whether there isn't. And I think that that is really the issue that we're trying to get at, is that we think it's important that employers be able to hear from benefit plan or benefit providers or vendors the options that are available to them instead of being prohibited by law from doing so.
Senator Eaton, did you have a follow-up?
Well, I guess I would just reiterate that I don't see how in prohibiting employers from encouraging their employees not to submit a health insurance claim, how that affects this bill.
Mr. Tyler.
Mr. Chair, Senator Eaton, that really is not the intent of this repealer, us to not submit claims. This is just to allow an agent or the employer's representative to just outline for them what their options are, defined benefit versus defined contribution. That's really all it is. It is defined in statute as an unfair trade practice for an agent to offer defined contribution using individual plans to an employer who currently offers a group health insurance plan. We find that's just inconsistent with the theme of this particular legislation.
Okay, then at this time I'm going to ask if there's anybody in the audience that would like to speak on this bill. And seeing none, then now what I'm going to do is Senator Rest has an amendment.
Thank you.
I think that now is the time to take that up.
Mr. Chairman, I want to offer an amendment to the A1, and I'm going to explain it, and then Mr. Stang can read it page and line because he has it written, but we do not. The first change would be to allow the minority leaders of both the House and the Senate to appoint two members, leaving three members appointed by the Speaker and in the House and three in the Senate by the majority leader. Further, that the speaker would designate, and it could be the majority leader, but I just chose the speaker. The speaker would designate one of the legislators that he appoints to convene the working group. Otherwise, it's just sitting out there. And then in the section of where the members are, to indicate that of the, I think it's four, I don't have it in front of me, so I'm just remembering this now, that of the four members that will be suggested by the, that they will appoint by your due date of the, from the members of the Chamber of Commerce, that that working group will designate one of those members to convene the first meeting, rather than in the subsection further down where you say the Chamber of Commerce will call the first meeting. It's very hard for an institution to call a meeting. A person needs to do it. And so it's just designating one of the representatives from the Chamber of Commerce to convene the first meeting. And then I had originally just had that the task force would be dissolved upon presentation of its report, but I have no objection to having the dissolution of the task force be your date in 2014, assuming that you had thought that that even after they made a report that they could be advisory to the legislature, and I think that's the substance of it. Again, it is not an attempt to do harm to the task force, but just to put it into good order so that it can work and come into being. And I hope, Senator Hand, that you would be amenable to supporting that.
Senator Hand, let's have Mr. Stang read the actual verbiage for the record. I don't want to Senator Rest explained the concept there, and I think people understand that, but I don't want us to be voting on a concept. I'd like the Senate Counsel to read the actual language.
Excuse me. This is an amendment to the A1. On page 1, we're deleting line 7. Page 8, we're deleting everything before the word shall and inserting. Working group of 5 senators, 3 appointed by the Senate Majority Leader and 2 appointed by the Senate Minority Leader, comma, and 5 representatives, 3 appointed by the Speaker of the House and 2 appointed by the House Minority Leader, comma. That's the concept of the working group. Next change, page 1, line 11, after employers, insert, one of whom will be designated to convene the initial meeting of the task force. Page 1, after line 19, insert, the Speaker of the House shall designate one of the legislative appointees to convene the working group. No, not quite. All right.
And then the sunset.
Page 1, line 21, delete everything after procedures. Line 22, delete everything before the period and insert, the initial meeting of the task force must be convened no later than August 1st, 2012. And the last piece is page 1 after line 33, insert a new subdivision 5, sunset. The task force shall sunset on June 30th, 2014.
Mr. Chairman, that's my amendment.
Okay, Senator Rest has made the motion, and I'll just, I'm going to speak in favor of the Rest motion, and I know that this bill is going to be referred to the state government committee, and they, of course, work on these sorts of things, but we have the benefit of having the expertise of Senator Rester, who chaired that committee in years past. I've served on it, and this is one of those things that is technical in nature to make these task forces and boards and commissions that we create function much better. So, Senator Hand.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and Senator Rust, thank you for your work. I certainly support what your direction you're taking here. I do have a couple of little questions. I guess to your earlier comment with the sunset date, I guess I would prefer to make it consistent with the February 1, 2013 date, which is, I think, your original thought. So if you wouldn't mind using that date. I think
Mr.
that would
Chairman,
be
Mr. Chairman, that was my original, and then when he suggested 2014,
well, that was my
just a courtesy. But if their work is done, then there's no reason for them to continue following the date. Usually what we do, and I'm not trying to get in the weeds here, is that that we don't make it a date, but we make it the day following the presentation of their report. So if their report is late, they still stay in existence until a report is presented.
Okay.
Senator Hand.
Senator Rust, I would prefer that structure. I had an original amendment or part of the amendment that had a specific date in 2014, but I prefer the language that you're suggesting on that sunset language. The other question I had is, I think
Senator Reston will incorporate that
yes.
change into her amendment.
With his agreement. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
And I think the Senate Council needs to have clarification.
Mr. Chair, was and members, was that the February 1, 2013 date or the day following submission of the report?
Senator Rest.
Mr. Chairman, Senator Hand, for your benefit, I think it's the day following the submission of the report.
Okay. Thank you. And Senator Hand, and we need to move quickly.
Yes. I had one other question on the amendment language that you, I think, inserted after line 1.19, talking about a legislator convening. Clarify that for me. What are we doing there? It seems like we've got a group of senators and legislators appointed.
Mr. Chairman, Senator Hand, what you had to start with was the speaker or the leadership appointing the members, but no way for the members themselves to start meeting. And so the one member is just designated by the speaker to bring the group together. Right. And then from there, they move to soliciting all their appointee nominees and then going forward.
Right. Thank you.
Senator Hand,
excuse me, though, Mr. Chair.
Senator Bonoff.
Senator Rest, as I heard you explain your amendment, it seemed like you thought that Senator Hand was putting members of the legislature on that task force?
No.
Okay.
No, obviously not.
Okay.
No.
Okay. Senator Hand?
Mr. Chairman, and no, I understood that and my intent was not to have legislators on the
right.
working group.
No, that's
but
clear.
I was trying to understand what the appointed legislator was going to do, but I get your...
Convene the working yep. group.
I got it.
Not
thank
okay.
the task force.
We have the Rest Amendment before us. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed, no. And the motion prevails, and the Rest Amendment is adopted. Senator Hand.
Mr. Chairman, my understanding is this needs to move to
comments?
Just simply thank you for consideration of the bill. I do want to just reiterate that, as was made by a number of comments, what we're trying to do is address particular problems that we exist today. We're trying to create a facility to allow things that may already exist in law to be taken greater advantage of. We are trying to help access availability, portability, affordability of insurance, and that we believe that this is a cost-effective and, frankly, just an effective solution to do this. We are not creating bureaucracy. We're not creating any cost to state government to do this, and we believe this would be a great help to the people of Minnesota. I appreciate the work from suggestions from members of the committee on language and structure of our amendment. Okay. Appreciate that. And my understanding is that this would be referred to the Committee on State Government and would certainly hope that the committee would be agreeable to send it there.
Okay. Senator Rest.
Mr. Chairman, once a motion is made about the bill, I request a roll call.
Okay. Then we're going to have Senator Gazelka will move that Senate file 2313 as amended be recommended to pass and re-refer to the Committee on State Government Innovations and Veterans. A roll call having been requested, clerk will take the roll.
Chairman Gerlach.
Yes.
Senator Bonoff.
No.
Senator Brown.
Yes.
Senator Chamberlain.
Yes.
Senator Dames. Senator Eaton.
No.
Senator Gazelka.
Yes.
Senator Jungbauer.
Yes.
Senator Cruz.
Yes.
Senator Pappas.
No.
Senator Reinert.
No.
Senator Rest.
No.
Senator Sparks.
No.
Senator Thompson.
Yes.
Senator Vandeveer.
Pass.
Pass.
Okay, the vote being 7 ayes and 6 nays, one pass, the motion prevails, and Senate File 2313 is recommended to pass and refer to the Committee on State Government Innovations and Veterans. Thank you, Senator Hand.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and members.
Yeah, give to Gazelka. Okay.
All right, next before us, we have Senate File 2255. It's Senator Gerlach's bill. I'm making that announcement right away, so while he gets there, we can move forward. So, Senator Gerlach, when you're ready.
Thank you, Chairman and members. It is 18 minutes to noon, and I know we have session. My hope was not to come back after. This is a bill that was delayed on the agenda yesterday, and I think that it is a simple concept that I think you're either going to be for or against, and I can certainly do my best to answer questions about the technical aspects of the bill, but I would like to take action on this before the committee adjourns at noon. Otherwise, we can come back to finish it. But let me just tell you what this is. This is an idea that I have struggled with this, and this is dealing with the Affordable Care Act, the national health care issue. And this is the situation. There's enormous uncertainty with the federal health care reform act and the impact it could have on the private marketplace. What does this mean for consumers? It's an issue that we've all been wrestling with. My big concern is that what it could do to the private marketplace that I think can hurt consumers. But this is the way this issue has been teeing up. It seems that you have one side saying we have to implement this federal health care exchange. And if we don't do that here, the federal government is going to do it. And we have people that are saying do nothing. We have people saying implement this. And there aren't the votes in the legislature to do an exchange bill. There are not the votes. That's not going to happen. And for us as the legislature, and I think members can agree to this, that for us to do nothing in the legislature and simply punt to the executive branch, to the Dayton administration, Senator Gazelka?
Senator Gerlach, do you mind if we hand out the A1 amendment while you're discussing it so we can?
We can. Yes, okay. Yes, certainly. Go ahead.
Proceed.
I think that all of us can agree that to simply punt it to the administration and let the Dayton administration, along with the Obama administration in Washington, through executive order and federal funding grants, put this in place with no commentary, with nothing from the legislature, I think does all of us a disservice. So that's one thing, regardless of where you stand on the issue, for us to do nothing, I think, is the wrong thing. And I want to present an idea, what I think are some things that would help preserve the private marketplace, and you'll either agree or disagree on the direction or the gist of this bill, but I want to present that for your consideration. We don't know what the final outcome of the U.S. Supreme Court case is going to be. The issue is being litigated. I believe that this bill will ensure that whatever happens, that it doesn't eliminate the existing benefits already available to Minnesota consumers today. And this bill simply states that if a federal exchange were to happen in Minnesota, whether it's implemented through the state administration or whether it happens, the federal government does something here, then it cannot completely take over the Minnesota private marketplace. In the event that this were to happen, this bill clarifies what health carriers can or cannot do in this environment and what the state can't do in this sort of environment. Members, I would like to put forth, first of all, the A1 amendment. It is an author's amendment, so I would like to move that if I could at this time, Mr. Chairman.
Senator Gerlach moves the A1 amendment. All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? The amendment is adopted.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Members, the bill essentially looks like a shopping list. It is in two major sections. The first one is a listing of what the health plans that would not be able to do in an environment if something were to happen. And then also Section 2 then will be what will the state not be able to do as far as implementing some sort of an healthcare intermediary, whatever you want to call it, exchange or whatever. We're referring it to throughout the bill. We do have a definition. The A1 amendment adopted simply says that the market intermediary means a health benefit exchange created or established pursuant to Public Law 111-148 to make it clear to members that that's what we're talking about, so there's no ambiguity there. Members, I don't plan to go item by item, but just give you some of the highlights in the bill. The bill has been out for some time. It's been on our agenda for a while as well. Section 1, as I said, is about health carriers and that they cannot issue or renew what's called a qualified policy, which is the definition used in the ACA about what will be allowed to be sold in the exchange. The concept with this bill, you'll see over and over again, you'll see some redundancy, but the idea is that a health plan that is sold in the exchange ought to be able to sold outside the exchange. And the idea is to have market equilibrium so you don't end up shifting from one side to the other, thus shutting out the private marketplace. That is really the key to the bill. I strongly believe in this bill that we do not want what's called the active purchaser model, which is a government intermediary, negotiating on behalf of consumers. That is the role of the private marketplace. That is the role of insurance agents and brokers to find that right fit. And if we're going to put some structure in place, we don't want the government entity, if you will, supplanting those elements of the private marketplace that seem to be working. The bill also says that carriers cannot sell inside the exchange if there are additional requirements imposed on them by the exchange or the market intermediary, if you will. It prevents the Department of Commerce from setting the provider rates because currently those rates, those providers and payer rates are negotiated. The terms of reimbursement, that's all negotiated in the private market. This bill would prohibit a health carrier from issuing or renewing qualified policies if the exchange prohibits insurance agents and brokers from helping people enroll in subsidized products. Those are some of the key elements there. And again, I didn't want to go through item by item. There are restrictions on what the state can do as well. This the governing body of this entity, it can't lack private market stakeholders, such as plans and producers as members. Again, cannot shut out the private marketplace from being involved in this. I've already talked about the active purchaser model. This entity cannot negotiate the deals between the plans and providers. In theory, it's supposed to be connecting people up, not negotiating on behalf of people. That is the role of the private marketplace and what produces the best results. This entity cannot prohibit health insurance producers from qualifying as the navigators. If they are, if they want to be able to be a navigator in whatever entity might be created, you cannot say, no, you can't do that. This entity cannot add any restrictions beyond what we are already included in the Affordable Care Act. Can't go above and beyond what that federal law says. A little bit of that was redundant. Members, those are some of the highlights on this. It's about setting it up so that this intermediary, if it's going to happen, and its stated purpose is supposed to be to help connect up people, that it does not become a competitor to the private marketplace, that it doesn't excessively advertise, pull people away from the private market that otherwise would find what they need in the private marketplace. That is the point of this bill, is to simply preserve the elements of the private marketplace and not let it completely be overrun by the federal act that is going on. And members, with that, I can certainly stand for some questions. If you have some detailed ones, I do have some people here that they did not plan to testify. This is an idea that I put together. I thought, again, the key is I think the legislature ought not be silent on this issue. Some of these individuals I got some technical expertise from, they can certainly answer some questions. So that is my bill, and I would urge your support.
Senator Gerlach, there was two testifiers or two people on the list. I don't know if they either one wanted to come, Mr. Wilkin or Ms. Braze.
I think they were good. Well, Mr. Wilkin provided some technical advice on this. I don't think he had any testimony, but certainly could answer some questions. And Ms. Brace, I think, could, who's also participating in some discussions with this, but she may want to testify. Maybe not. Oh, such timing. Welcome.
Ms. Brace, welcome to the committee, and please state your name for the record and proceed.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. Twyla Braze, Citizens Council for Health Freedom. And we have talked with Senator Gerlach about this bill, and he understands our concerns, mostly because we know what you're – we have an idea what he's trying to do here. But our organization would like a much stronger statement. Clearly, the idea here is to not allow the exchange to actually work in his bill. But our organization would like a statement that actually says – no exchange. And so far there's been not that kind of strong statement, because nothing in this language actually says exchange can't be developed, designed, and set up. And we would actually like that kind of language. And so that is really our biggest concern about this bill, is that it still doesn't really say no. It just says once it's set up, then no. So that has been what I have expressed to Senator Gerlach.
Thank you, Ms. Brace. Further discussion? Senator Gerlach?
Then, Mr. Chair, I don't have any additional testimony or explanation of the bill. And
Well, Senator Gerlach moves that Senate File 2255 as amended be recommended, passed, and sent to general orders. All those in favor say aye.
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 Nay?
Nay.
No. Motion prevails and is referred to general orders.
And that's it, Mr. Chairman. Thank you, members. And then I think, as for a point of announcements, then we are not meeting tomorrow. We're meeting Friday morning, and my administrator stepped out. I'm making the announcements. You correct me if I'm not right. We're not meeting tomorrow, but Friday morning at what time?
8:30.
And we'll be taking up the omnibus liquor bill, as well as some additional last-minute bills that are still being finalized.
That's the deadline.
We'll move
right?
those out. So
we are adjourned until 8:30 Friday morning.
Thank you.